Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRIL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Will Doran, WRIL State Government Reporter.
And, it's been a long week.
It's been a real long week.
You might not believe this, but it was just Monday when Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, and we should say Republican nominee for governor this year, held a press conference to demand more information from the White House about the arrest of somebody on the terrorist watch list here in North Carolina.
Yeah, this was a story from kind of like far northeast rural North Carolina. This guy was arrested. It sounded like there was basically like a fight at a gas station. He was waving around a gun. Maybe some gunshots went off. He ran after somebody called the cops. Ended up in a standoff at his house, gets arrested, and then they run his fingerprints, and I guess the feds call up the local jail, and they're like, don't let this guy bail out.
Oh, God.
Don't give him bail. He is on the terror watch list. And so, you know, kind of chaos ensues. And so Mark Robinson holds this presser a few days later. I think that happened on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And then on Monday, he holds this press conference and, you know, it was basically demanding answers from the Biden administration on, like, why is this guy on the terror watch list? Like, what is he doing in this random tiny town in northeastern North Carolina that also happens to be pretty close to the Norfolk Naval Base, which is, you know, the biggest naval base in the world, not far from Fort Liberty, Camp Lejeune, but also, you know, it's a town of like 200 people. So
it is a strange place to find it. But he wasn't doing anything terrorist.
Right.
At the time.
Right. He wasn't arrested for any like terrorist activities.
Right.
Getting in a fight with somebody at a gas station.
Well, you pointed out in your story that there's been litigation over the watch list because of the fact that it's kind of has a lot of mistakes in it.
Yes. I'll say, you know, Mark Robinson wasn't out here accusing this guy of being a terrorist. He was saying
right.
We need to know why he was on the watch list. And you're right. I mean, there's tons of reporting going back years on just how bad the watch list is. Basically, there's like 2 million names on it, and there's been tens of thousands of complaints filed with the federal government for people who are getting flagged by the watch list, like when they try to get on an airplane and get denied. And of those tens of thousands of complaints, in 98% of them, the government has acknowledged, oh yeah, it was a mistake. So, like, I was researching this, and I came across this story from a few years ago. There was a Marine staff sergeant from the Midwest who was coming home after a deployment from Iraq and got stopped and wasn't allowed to get on the flight because, I guess, at a previous time when he had been walking through an airport, he had some gunpowder residue on his boots, which, you know, as a Marine in an active war zone might have.
Yes.
And some sort of sensor at the airport picked that up and just automatically put him on the watch list. And,
oh my
gosh. You don't get told when you're on the watch list or anything. So it's just the next time he flew, he was told he was a terrorist.
Oh my gosh.
You know? So
that is crazy.
So yeah. So, you know, should we be worried about this guy from rural Gates County? You know, is he a real terrorist? Is he just, you know, someone who's kind of accidentally on the list? Or, you know, maybe he's someone who, you know, he had someone in his phone contact who's related to a terrorist and, you know.
Yeah. At any rate, though, I mean, yeah. Robinson is right. It seems like some more explanation would be helpful.
Yes. And we got a little bit more explanation from the federal government after he put out this call. They said that he is from Eritrea originally, which is in Eastern Africa. And I guess he had gotten into the U.S. legally. They didn't say exactly how, but it sounded like he was maybe on a tourist visa or a student visa or something like that. And then basically overstayed and remained here for too long. And so he is not here legally. And ICE has him in their custody now, I believe. And we still don't really have any answers on why he was on the terror watch list. Of course, I mean, you know, it goes without saying that usually in investigations like this, it is kept very hush-hush.
Yeah, they're not exactly
secret,
forthcoming
you know.
About that. No.
Right, yeah. So we'll see if he gets any answers. But, you know, obviously immigration is going to be a huge theme for Republicans in this campaign. And here you have a guy who is not in the country legally, who is on the terror watch list, and, you know, getting in a fight at the gas station in North Carolina. So it kind of puts
made
a spotlight
a
on this issue.
Made for a campaign ad, right? Right there.
And his campaign was at the event filming it.
Of course they were. And then on Tuesday, also a little action in Eastern North Carolina. And this is about Representative Michael Ray. You might remember that he lost his primary to a more progressive candidate, Rodney Pierce, by a margin of only about 35 votes. And so he had protests, I guess, of or claims of election irregularities up in all three of the counties in his district. And all three of them dismissed those protests.
Yes, they were all dismissed unanimously. So that means that both the Republicans and the Democrats on those boards voted to throw out his protests. And they, the protests were all over the place. They, you know, said that some voters had gotten the wrong ballots. They said that some voters had been improperly turned away when they went to vote. They said, you know, one person reported that she didn't think the machine actually counted her ballot. You know, because, you know, when you go and vote, I don't know if people have noticed this, but there's like a little ticker.
A little number goes up, yeah.
You know, that, you know, says, okay, you know, there are now 237 ballots that have been cast in this precinct. And she was looking at that and said that she didn't think the number changed. So there were a lot of different complaints in all three counties in the district, but all three county boards threw those complaints out, said, no, we don't see anything here. But Representative Ray has filed his notice of appeal, said that he is going to appeal this to the State Board of Elections. As of the time that we're recording this, he hasn't actually filed that appeal yet, but he has said that it's coming. So we expect to see that probably in the next few days, if not already. And in the meantime, there's also a recount going on in these counties as well.
Yeah, they're certainly within the margin for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it started off a 41 vote margin, and it's now down to a 35 vote margin. And that
was the provisionals.
Yeah, after the provisionals and some things like that came in. And so there's another recount Monday. The counties are all doing them on different days. So we'll see. Maybe he keeps chipping away at the gap in these recounts and then can get the state board to recognize some of his complaints about the irregularities. And, you know,
maybe there's another election. I don't know.
Could be. He hasn't directly asked for a new election to be held yet, but that is a possibility. So we'll just have to watch and see. I mean, with such a close margin, it's definitely not out of the question.
And then on Wednesday, we had First Lady here in Durham. Jill Biden was here talking about research into women's health. Not surprisingly, that's something that the president has been promoting, executive orders and executive action, sort of encouraging more research into women's health issues. So, of course, it's an election year. This is a swing state. We're going to be real popular with these folks. In fact, they're coming. Harris, I guess, Vice President Harris and President Biden are going to be coming to Raleigh next week for a big fundraiser somewhere.
Yes, they are kicking off their North Carolina campaign. They haven't said where. I think, whenever the President and the First Lady are traveling together.
And the Vice President.
The Vice President are traveling to a private residence. They try to keep that pretty secret. Tickets are going for up to $100,000 if you want to attend that.
Too rich for my blood. All right. So that's this coming week. Another interesting story that broke on Wednesday was that Connecticut politicians in the Democratic state of Connecticut sent a letter to their business recruiters telling them to try to work on folks in NC.
Yeah. I think it was the president of the Senate, basically the Connecticut version of Phil Berger, sent a letter saying, you know, hey, remember when HB2 happened and all these businesses fled or boycotted North Carolina? Well, if they elect Mark Robinson, something similar could be happening, and we need to get on the front end of stealing all these businesses from North Carolina. And I mean, I don't know how serious this pitch is, or
I'm thinking it's not very, but a
kind of Democrats helping out fellow Democrats. But I think it is notable that, you know, Mark Robinson is going national. You know, I mean, you have people in Connecticut who know who he is, who are paying attention to the governor's race. I think to anything, it just kind of speaks to that.
Well, and he's had a lot of national exposure. I mean, at a lot of different national conferences. So, I mean, I wouldn't call him a household name, but he's certainly a lot better known than probably some other Republican or Democratic nominees for governor in various states.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say that when we reached out to the Robinson campaign about this letter, the response was probably what a whole lot of people are thinking when they hear about this is, who cares what people in Connecticut think? This is a race for North Carolina governor. We don't really care. That his quote was, I think, you know, the Northeastern liberals don't really matter to us. And, you know, he also noted, which is true, North Carolina has a much lower tax rate than Connecticut does, particularly for businesses.
And it's rated higher. I mean, it's rated lower for businesses than North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, North Carolina has been the number one state for business 2 years running. Now, of course, in the GOP primary for governor, some of Robinson's opponents said that might stop if he gets elected. I mean, this is not just an argument that Democrats are making against Mark Robinson. This is an argument that we heard from State Treasurer Dale Falwell during the election, from Bill Graham. Of course, voters in the GOP primary didn't really buy that argument. Robinson got about nearly twice as many votes as his two challengers combined. So, yeah, people are all in on him, regardless of what Connecticut has to say about it.
NC Chamber doesn't seem quite so sure, though.
No. I mean, they also put out a newsletter right after the primary, which didn't mention Robinson by name, but said that they were deeply concerned about kind of the shift to the right that voters made in the Republican primary.
And the potential culture war stuff that could come out of that and what that would mean for the business climate.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of this adoption of more populist rhetoric rather than some of the, you know, your classic pro-business country club conservatism.
Right. And it was also Wednesday, speaking of not caring about what other people in other states think, that CNN finally caught up with Michelle Morrow. She is the superintendent of public instruction candidate for the Republicans. She had some social media posts from a few years back that were problematic, calling for the execution of former President Barack Obama, for example.
To be streamed on pay-per-view, I believe, right?
Firing squad and pay-per-view TV, yeah.
Make some money off
also,
of it.
Also, Bill and Melinda Gates. Let's see. There's a long list of Democratic luminaries that she thinks should be put to the sword.
Joe Biden, yeah. Roy Cooper.
Yeah. So anyway, CNN has been trying to get an answer out of her about these earlier tweets, as have we. And, you know, her response to us has always been, what does that have to do with education? Well, okay, you figure it out, right? they got here and they found her coming out of the GOP convention, the Wake County GOP convention at the fairgrounds. And so she says they ambushed her. I mean, they were waiting in a dark parking lot, so that's not an entirely unfair characterization, you know. But anyway, you know, they featured this on Anderson Cooper on CNN on Wednesday night, speaking of national, you know, national spotlights. And so, you know, a lot of a big profile of her on CNN. So I was a little surprised to see that.
Yeah, and the, you know, the response from within the Republican primary to her and her statements has really kind of been all over the place. I mean, you know, we've seen some GOP insiders, you know, really double down on supporting her and trying to kind of, you know, turn the attention on Mo Green, who's the Democratic nominee. We've seen some other Republican big names, though, like U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, kind of distance themselves from her and say, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, endorse these sorts of views. So,
yeah, on CNN, actually, Cooper was talking to Doug High, a longtime North Carolina political consultant, and he said he called on Whatley, who used to be the NCGOP chair, now, of course, the RNC chair, to disavow her comments. Now, whether or not that happened, I'd be real surprised.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath for that.
Yeah, but, you know, like you say, it does seem to be dividing some Republicans, although who knows what's going to happen with that in November. You know, people tend to come home in November. Anyway, so speaking of that, right, so on Thursday, Democrats introduced their candidate, Mo Green. He is a former Guilford County school superintendent and the former head of the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation for several years. He said he's spent his life in education and is very much looking forward to running for this, you know, this seat. He said he didn't really want to run against Morrow. He wanted to run on ideas. But he said he couldn't not point out some of the stuff that she'd said.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, you know, themes in this race that kind of echo what you're seeing in the governor's race as well. You know, the Democratic candidate who, you know, kind of has a lengthy career in politics, in the field, but, you know, is maybe not the most exciting stump speaker versus a Republican candidate who's much more of a newcomer to politics and, you know, has some controversial ideas, but, you know, has a lot of grassroots support. I think, you know, there's a lot of parallels between those two races.
Sure. We need to take a break for just a minute to pay our bills. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what the candidates in that race are saying about each other.
And in local news, the Designery of North Raleigh is holding a grand opening event at noon on May 16th. Please stop by and join the party. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of the Designery.
I am True Merrill. I am the project manager. The Designery grand opening, we're scheduled to open May 16th and do our grand opening party then. We're going to be catering some food. We're doing some giveaways. We have a VR headset, an Echo Show, some kitchen gadgets, and some fancy knives. 12 to 2 p.m.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the weekly edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie here with Will Doran. So we were just talking about the race between Mo Green and Michelle Morrow for the state superintendent of public instruction. Everybody is presenting this in sort of apocalyptic terms. The soul of North Carolina education is at risk here. She is accusing Mo Green of being a radical extremist because of his work with the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation. Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation, if you're not aware, is a really big philanthropic trust here in North Carolina. They give hundreds of grants every year to all different kinds of groups. You know, the argument that she and Republicans are trying to make is that sometimes this organization has given grants to groups that support Black Lives Matter or groups that support people who are undocumented immigrants, and so therefore that makes him a radical extremist.
I think this is the campaign that we're probably going to see here. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, she has made plenty of, you know, extremist statements. And so I think the attempt from the Democrats is going to be to try to also paint Mo Green as an extremist, too. And so, you know, Republicans. And, you know, so that those undecided voters in the middle, the more moderate people
will throw up their hands and go, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think the question is just going to be, how well does that work?
You know, in the meantime, Green was talking about her and was saying, you know, just bringing up the fact that she had not had children in North Carolina public schools and that she had no background in education, and also that she was advocating the dissolution of the State Board of Education, which I believe would take a constitutional amendment. I don't know what the odds are of that passing, right? But he said, you know, that she's a big threat to public education in North Carolina. So you can expect to hear more and more of that rhetoric. And it's only going to get worse here. We still got, 6 months? Don't peak too soon, right?
Yeah. You know, I don't recall the last time that the race for state superintendent of public education was talked about as much as it has this early in the cycle as it is. I mean, this is definitely not the norm.
I think it's a function of just like the hyper partisanship, right? I mean, at this point, it's like shirts and skins, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're all with us or you're all with them, but there's no, you know, never mind policy, right?
Yeah.
Never mind policy. also, we should mention on Thursday that Governor Roy Cooper held an event for the Biden campaign here in Raleigh celebrating the anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. And coupled with a warning that, you know, that there's a real concern that Trump has said in the past that he wants to get rid of ACA, which would, of course, undo Medicaid expansion in North Carolina, which we just got after how many years of trying, right? So that's something that they're going to be hammering him on, and, you know, that also hammering Robinson on. And I think that's, you know, that's something that our polling shows that women voters are that's their top issue.
Yes.
Is health and health care and access to health care. So, you know, that is maybe a way in to talk to women voters.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting, this polling that we had earlier this month. You know, for men, it's kind of guns and immigration are the top issues. And women, it's more health care. And then everybody also cares about the economy.
The economy. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask you if you can give us a little preview of your Sunday special. It sounds like it's pretty cool.
Yes. So coming out on Sunday, we have a look at AI in elections and some of the dirty tricks that we've already seen here, both in 2022 and also that have already started this year. And basically talking to a lot of elections officials, experts in the field who are pretty concerned about what the next 7-8 months have in store in terms of efforts to trick people. And, you know, I mean, we're probably going to see it from campaigns who are going to be making, you know, AI videos of their opponents saying things that they've never said. But there's, I think, even a bigger concern is, you know, there's an ability to use robocalls to fake information to people. And I mean, you can get really specific. I mean, you can, you know, get the public data of like which precinct you or I vote at and, you know, give you a call and say, hey, Will Doran, your voting precinct, you know, has been
moved
or has been flooded and is shut down. You know, you need to go somewhere else to vote. And then you go somewhere else to vote and they tell you, no, you can't vote here. You have to vote at your precinct. And then, you know, maybe you just don't end up casting a ballot. So it seems that that technology has really improved just in the last couple of years. And, you know, the federal government, the FCC, has tried to crack down on these robocalls a little bit. But I mean, you know, if they're coming out of China, if they're coming out of Russia, like...
Or if they're even routed through it.
Right, exactly. Then, you know, people don't really care what the FCC has to say about what is or isn't legal. So, you know, there seems to be a lot of concern on that front. I also talked to some leaders in the state about what the legislature might do about it. Obviously, we have a short session coming up in April. Spoiler alert, sounds like it's not a big priority.
Yeah, but you know what? It seems to me like with short sessions, they always say they want to make it a short session. They say they're not going to take up a lot of other stuff. And then they get here and reality hits.
Yeah. And, you know, they've got these new maps that, I mean, basically everyone's
baked
race
in.
Is over. Yeah. There's a handful of elections that are going to be competitive in November for the state legislature, but 90-95% of them were just decided in the primary. So, you know, it's not like a lot of these guys have to and gals have to get out there and campaign. You know, if they want to spend a few more months legislating, tackling some of the policy issues that confront the great state of North Carolina. A lot of them can do that.
Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up for this week. Next week, we've got some oversight meetings coming up, including education reform. That's a House Select Committee. We're going to vote their committee report. That's going to be a lot of people interested in that. And some other general oversight, including general government. So we might hear a little bit more from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. You never know. They've been on them for the last couple months. So we will, of course, keep you posted on all this, and we'll catch you up on it next week here on The Wrap.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.